often the budget's certainly all about money. 16 past 7, our daylight saving time, Wednesday morning with Richard King. And joining me now is Assistant Treasurer Stephen Jones. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your time. Look, in the lead-up for weeks, your government was telling us that this would be a family-friendly budget. How is this a family-friendly budget, Stephen?
Well, families have burgeoning cost of childcare. They've got older Australians, they've got relatives, they've got parents in aged care. They're struggling with the cost of medicines. They're keen to see their wages growing again. They're paying out hundreds of dollars a month in medicines. And these are the things that we're targeting in this budget through our childcare boost, ensuring that families can make sensible, rational decisions about returning to work and not have to worry about the growing cost of the childcare bill. Ensuring that we can do something to make housing more affordable, whether you're in rental accommodation or whether you're trying to buy your first home. A range of programs wrapped around our new housing accord to build more houses, get the housing supply issues sorted and make housing more affordable. And a reduction, the biggest single reduction in medicine prices, $12.50 co-payment reduction in the price of medicines. We can't do everything, and we acknowledge that. We know that we acknowledge that families are doing it tough.
Well,
we can't be doing is writing billion-dollar checks and making the inflation problem even worse. So, targeted responsible relief for households.
All right, targeted responsible relief for households. I did speak with Shadow Treasurer Angus Taylor in the last half hour, and I did put it to him that your comments about the fact that, in your opinion, you felt that Angus Taylor was in denial about the fact that the budget was left in a mess, and this is part of what he had to say in response to that.
Well, they received a $50 billion windfall in the budget, and they just spent it all. They've just blown it all. And the result is, if a government can't manage its finances, then households have to do it for them. And that's exactly what's happening here. The fact that they have in this budget a recognition that the electricity prices are going to go up by 50%, and yet they committed to a $275 reduction. This is Labor that's saying, look, everything we said in the election campaign was all wrong. We're not going to keep those commitments anymore. And even worse than that, this is a budget designed to raise taxes.
A budget designed to raise taxes. What's your response to that comment?
Well, Angus can't count. We inherited $1 trillion worth of debt and the three biggest budget deficits on record. We've got a structural deficit in the budget because they spent and couldn't save. And there is not a person in Parliament who is more responsible for the increase in power bills than Angus Taylor, because he was personally responsible for destroying every single attempt of the former government to put in place a long-term energy policy. And to make matters worse, before the last election, he hid from the Australian people the fact that he authorised a 20% increase in electricity prices. So there is nobody in the Parliament, nobody in Australia, who is more responsible for the mess that we have in energy prices than Angus Taylor. A bit of humility wouldn't go astray from Angus.
Okay, but his point too, that you did make a commitment that there'd be a $275 reduction in energy costs to us taxpayers. I mean, that's not happened, and obviously you point to the world situation, it's changed. And you're not backing away from that. You're saying, look, we had to do this because of what's happening around the world.
We made a commitment that we would transform the way we're generating and distributing energy in this country through our Rewiring the Nation policy. Certain energy and climate change policy so that we can end the climate wars that Angus Taylor is so keen to continue. Ensuring that we have sensible energy policy so that we can get generation and distribution back on track in this country. Let me just give you one example of the mess that we inherited. Over the last 8 years, you've had 4 gigawatts of energy, baseload energy, leave the national energy generation system, but only 1 gigawatt enter. The reason we've had that is because the chaos in energy policy under the former government. People wouldn't invest. If you've got more energy going out than is coming back into the system, of course you're going to have a problem and power prices are going to go up. Our policy is about reversing that madness, ensuring that we can have certainty in energy policy. We want to do more to help households. We've already sorted out the supply issue with gas by mandating that gas companies must serve Australian businesses and households first. If we need to do more on price, we'll do that. We've also indicated that we want to work with the states and the generators to put downward pressure and to work with them around providing relief to households. But what we're not going to cop is the person is a lecture from the person who made the mess, demanding that we clean their mess up in the first 24 hours of the government. That's just crazy.
I think there seems to be unilateral support for the NDIS as being a great program, but certainly the budget last night highlighted the blowout in the cost. And obviously that's something the government's got an eye on. Nobody seems to be talking about reining in the cost of the NDIS, but that's obviously something that will have to happen, Stephen.
Yeah, we've got to rein in the pace of growth. I'm passionate about the NDIS. One of my first jobs in the workforce was working with people with disabilities. I know the needs, passionate about the NDIS and ensuring we can get it on a sustainable footing. We don't want to see it collapse under its own weight, and that means we've got to constrain the pace of growth. At the current trajectory, we'll be paying more on the NDIS than we pay on Medicare, and the number one thing we've got to do is ensure that we've got, if there are rorts going on, if there is misspending going on in the system, we think the overwhelming majority of people are doing the right thing, but we've got to get the misspending out of the system in the first place, and we've got some growth constraints in the system to ensure that every dollar we're putting in there is going directly to where it's intended, and that is supporting people with disabilities and their families to live a normal life. That's the priority, but we can't have this collapsing under its own weight.
I spoke to you several weeks ago about these cyber attacks and cyber security, re-Medibank. It's the possibility that every Medibank customer's had their private details hacked. Do you agree with our cyber security minister, Claire O'Neill, that, quote, for a cyber criminal to hang this over the heads of Australians is a dog act, it's scum of the earth, lowest of the low territory? And obviously this increase of fines to companies who have been hacked, you obviously 100% behind that.
Yeah. Claire's really nailed it there. This is a dog act by criminals here and overseas who are attempting to hold Australians and their health insurers to ransom. We know we've got to do a lot more to provide protection and security for households and businesses. We've got to get businesses to lift their game. They're ultimately responsible for protecting the data that they collect on behalf of their customers. But from a government perspective, we also want to ensure we're doing more to lift the game around scams and fraud prevention. It's why in this budget we've put aside $10 million to start work on our national anti-scam policy, the Anti-Scam Centre, which I'm spearheading, and ensuring that we can have a whole-of-government, whole-of-economy approach to protecting households. We're losing $2 billion a year on scams to these criminals and fraudsters. So we've all got a responsibility, but government can't shirk its responsibility either.
Right, okay. But what happens in the situation of Medibank now that, you know, a ransom's been demanded? If a million people have had their private details hacked and Medibank say, no, we're definitely not going to pay the ransom, do you think it will come to a stage where companies will have to start paying these big ransoms?
I think we've got to, we've just got to call the criminals out. If you start paying ransoms, it never ends.
Yeah.
If you start paying bribes and ransoms and handing over dough to these criminal gangs, they go, right, we know we've got one, and they'll be back again for more and more and more. So we've just got to have a hard no on this and ensure that we're putting in place greater protections to stop this sort of thing happening down the track.
Lydia Thorpe, for obvious reasons, been attracting a great deal of publicity. Are you of the opinion that the federal parliament is not a place for the likes of Lydia Thorpe?
Oh, look, I think that's a matter for the Greens Party as to whether she remains their Senate member for Victoria. I think she showed an extreme lack of judgment on this, and frankly on other issues as well, but that's a matter for the Greens Party as to whether she continues to be one of their senators for the state of Victoria.
I notice a couple of the major sponsors, obviously not Hancock Prospecting, sponsors of Netball Australia have said that they're happy that more athletes are being outspoken and becoming activists. Do you have an opinion on that one, or do you think that elite athletes, when it comes to sponsorship, should keep their mouth shut?
Oh, we can't celebrate our elite athletes and, you know, congratulate them for speaking out on things that we agree on and then condemn them if they speak out on things that somebody doesn't agree on. I think it's good that we've got athletes who are adding their voice to important social issues. I just don't think it works if you try and put a muzzle on people. From time to time, elite athletes have said things that I've fundamentally disagreed with. You can call them out on that, but trying to muzzle people for expressing their views, that's not the Australian way.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. Busy day ahead, Stephen, but thank you very much for your time. Much appreciated.
Good to be with you.
Stephen Jones, the Assistant Treasurer.